Esau was a very nice person. Wouldn't cheat you. Labored hard. Knew how to labor. Knew how to hunt. Knew how to set his trap. Knew how to prosper by his own strength. Yet God didn't like him for anything. Why? He was described as a godless man. It's interesting. You know, a man should be hardworking. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe, say amen. But this is the interesting part. God puts less emphasis on the hard work of a man. Less emphasis on that than on the fact that he understands the power of the blessing. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That when God has to value who is a responsible man, you see a man who gets up very early, by 6 o'clock he's ready to go. Doesn't show up back at home till 6 p.m. He works very hard, makes good money. And you can see it in his life. So he's a very good man. He doesn't cheat anybody. But there's this other guy that... Now, please, you must always understand what I'm trying to balance something. You follow my point? I've noticed sometimes that people, when you say something, they don't realize that you're trying to put a balance. I think that you are saying this other thing is bad. For example, if I tell you that we don't want nice guys, some guys think that I said they shouldn't be nice. Did I say that? I know, you see, you have to say these things. I just say that it is inferior to being a man of God. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we're just saying. So guess what I'm saying? So you see one guy that wake up at 6:30, he's just throwing his sleep into gear 5. And finally drags himself out off from the bed, maybe at 7 in the morning, collects his chewing stick, and starts chewing. This is not toothbrush. Toothbrush is 2 minutes. You're out. Chewing stick. Before you even decapitate the stick, before you soften the edges and then start massaging your gums and your teeth, it takes a while before it now goes to start getting ready. He now tells you, now this is the point, get this. By that 8 o'clock, he now grabs a Bible. Let's go and say, wait, let's water the day. In the name of Jesus. Now, you know, Babalawo style. Starts walking around his house, around his car, casting the spell of the word of God on everything. You understand? And you have to do that. I hope you are doing that. You must do it regularly. Any Babalawo in the house? Amen. Any Babalawo there? If you are in a cult, say amen. Thank you. If you drink blood, say amen. Oh, I'm happy. I'm in good company. I know I like, there are cults you should join. These are the kind of cults you join. If you have incantations in your life, say amen. It's good. So you must do it regularly. Incantation was part of your life. Just wake up in the morning, just be talking NTA news. What's the problem? What's happening? Hey, have you heard the Nafanaleso, the discos and the Jenkos? That is NTA news. You must first do the incantations of God. And you know you have the book of the incantations of the Lord. One of the best ones is the book of Psalms. Incantation of full down and complete. If somebody vexes you, there's incantation there too. Is there? All of it is there. We don't have time to go into it. Come on Tuesdays when we are doing our incantation sessions. If somebody is your enemy, drag him down one day for an incantation. By the time he hears you chanting, he will come and make friends. So why you the vex? Wait. So this man, he gets up in the morning, instead of moving out of the house, he starts, incantationing all over his house. I invent words once in a while to make my point clear, all right? So he starts his incantation sessions. In the name of Jesus, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The angels of the Lord, they encamp around me and they deliver me. Favor is on my side. And you are late now. Come on, look at the time. Wait. He finishes blessing and blessing and blessing. You give him money. Say, hey, wait, there is seed for the soil and bread for food. Say, don't you want to save up for your future? Why? He said, give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven. And he goes to give to the poor. He doesn't have too much. Look at him. His shirt is torn. His tie is out of alignment. According to Bishop Edipo, his shoe needs an organizer. You know who God loves more? Is this number two man? He is the one that God loves. That clean, hardworking man, do you get my point? Is far inferior to him in the presence of God. The children of this second man will be mighty on this earth. That that fellow will succeed far beyond the first man and live longer. I'm telling you the truth. And that's what Jacob was. Jacob's one was, listen, where is the blessing? Esau's one is that, keep the blessing first, I'm coming. And listen, you must understand how things play out. What you see physically is a playing out of that which is spiritual. In the realm of the spirit, they saw the heart of Esau, saw the heart of Jacob. And God said simply, I am going to put my blessing upon the man who values it. Mike Murdock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. Jesus said it like this, never cast your pearls before swine. And he said, don't give holy things to dogs. That is, God will not establish his covenant with the man, with the woman who does not value it. And that was the issue with Esau. And this was how it played out, physically speaking. One day he was hungry. And you must understand that Jacob had been looking for this thing for a long time. So opportunity was just, you know, any opportunity he saw, he jumped for it. I am sure, now this is what I suspect too, all right, don't let me say I'm sure. This is what I strongly suspect. When Esau said, I'm very, very tired, give me some of that, your beans. Jacob said, I will give you, give me your best right. I strongly suspect he did not expect that Esau would agree. For the understanding he had concerning the value of that birthright, I don't believe he thought Esau would agree. I'm sure he thought the guy would say, look, if I mend you there, you know that kind of thing. My wife, remember the joke we heard on Saturday? Last week, Saturday. If I give you our slap. This is just a joke. It's by the way. A woman went, they were talking about couples, man, wife, everything in common. So a woman went to meet the husband. Said, please, can I have our remote? I want to watch our TV. After a while, she came and said, can I have our car keys? I want to drive our Jeep. By that time, the man, they looked. Then she was about, the man grudgingly gave the keys. After I said, can I have our ATM card? I want to collect our money. The man looks at, if I give you our slap, you will not see with our eyes to buy anything. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I went for a couple's ministers, all right? Just ministers who are preachers. Couples who are ministers. I had for a meeting last week. That was where I heard the joke, all right? That's not part of our message, all right? Let me just get back to it. So I just assume that Jacob thought that Esau would just say, my friend, will you stop that nonsense? But to his surprise, Esau said, what good will that be for me now, seeing that I'm about to die? Now, listen to me. He was more closer to death than you were also last time you were very hungry. And listen, when you were very hungry, I could not have bought that your Tokumbo car for 2,000 naira. True or false? Who's talking about your Tokumbo car? Your BlackBerry. If I tell you that, look at this, your iPhone. Wow, you are very hungry. Let me give you 2K. Seafood. I take your, you look like, even if I was a drug addict, with this 2,000 naira, buy one took. You know, go back. Are you getting my point? No matter how hungry you are, you will still have value for that your phone. You get what I'm saying? That is, the fact that he sold it was not a sign of how hungry he was. It was a sign of how little he valued the birthright. You must understand that. And that's why the Bible called him, that's why God called him a godless man. There's something that has such value. That's why we started reading from that book of Matthew. Something that has such value, you let it go for just a plate of food. Imagine it was Jacob. Jacob will say to you, I would rather die. Let my corpse have a promise. I don't know whether you get my point. Jacob will say to you, okay, let me die. At least this will be the grave of the man who died with the promise of God. My emphasis is not even on Esau. It's supposed to be on Jacob. That is, the fellow valued the promise of God so much, I was ready to do anything to get it. As much as some of his methods may have been questionable, but God saw his sense of value. And that was the reason why God led him into the house of Laban, that he might purify him of all his funny methods, so that he'll be able to take hold of that inheritance properly. But the point is that the fellow valued it. Back to ourselves as believers. How much do we value, all right, the word of God? That's the point. You know, I was talking about the promises of God. I'm back to it now. And that, listen, what God is doing in your life, what God is doing in my life, is simply to establish his promise. What God wants to do is to, in your life, say, okay, if I said something, then that thing must be done. I don't care whether you think you qualify for it. I don't care whether you think you don't know how to get it done. But if I said it, I like one scripture, the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. I quoted it last time, but we did not read it. Jeremiah chapter 1. You know, after God spoke to Jeremiah in chapter 11, in chapter 9, he stretched out his hand and touched my mouth and all of that, and he gave him a commandment. He now said in verse 11, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And I said, 'I see a rod of an almond tree.' Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it.'" Please, I need you to understand that. He said, "I am watching over my word to perform it." I like the way Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah chapter 34. Let's just read that also. We're doing a Bible study. We should quickly read a few. Now, we must get this in context. I'll just read it and give us the background to it. From verse 16, it says, "Seek from the book of the Lord." And that is a commandment to every believer, which is the reason why we are doing this teaching this evening. "Seek from the book of the Lord and read." My commandment to you tonight, all right, every child of God listening to me, or if you are listening to this at any time, my commandment to you again is seek from the book of the Lord. The word there is seek, the first word. The next one is where to seek it, which is the book of the Lord. And it said, read. Let's continue reading that portion. "Not one of these will be missing. None will lack its mate." He's talking about the things that are written in the preceding verses. "For his mouth has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them." Now, please, let me just stop reading there and give you the background to it. What he was saying simply was talking about the judgment that God was going to bring about on the land. It was talking about how God would bring destruction. And it was speaking about a fertile, well-developed land, well-populated, and that the thing was going to be overtaken by wild animals. So he began to describe the kind of wild animals you see. From verse 13, he says, okay, let me just start from verse 11. "The pelican and the hedgehog will possess it. The owl, the raven," he said, "they will dwell in it. It will stretch over the line of desolation." That's the emphasis, the fact that God was going to desolate the land. "And the plumb line of emptiness. Its nobles," he said, "concerning them, there is no one there whom they may proclaim king. The land is going to be desolate. All its princes will be nothing. Thorns will come up in the 45 cities. Nestles, thistles in its 45 cities, and in 45 towers and 45 cities. It will also be a haunt of jackals and an abode of ostriches." These are wild animals. "The desert creatures will meet with the wolves. The hairy goat also will cry for its kind." That these are wild animals. "Yes, the ninth monster will settle there." Let me just stop there because I've made my point. That's why he now said, "Seek from the book of the Lord and read." So I see all of these things, even though they look unlikely. He said, not only will they be present, they will have their partners there. If you find a male one, the female one will be there. Now, but my emphasis is this. Why will it happen, even though it's very unlikely? He says, simply put, once the mouth of God commands, his spirit goes out to gather. Now, this is a lesson for believers. It is before the Spirit of God can go out to gather. He said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. Now, how more terrible will it be if they did not even hear at all? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why he says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. My teaching tonight, all right, which I'm going to emphasize to believers, your life, number one, I said, it will be, that's what a Christian's life is, a manifestation of divine promises. You get the point? But the emphasis is that you must value those promises, understand them so much that you go and look for them. I heard a story earlier about Bishop Oyedepo. He said, what is the word of God concerning how to end poverty? So what did he do? He took time out to go and look for them. You know, it's a challenge. I'm just pointing it out for Christians to understand. Christians generally these days, they don't struggle, that is, they don't put enough effort in discovering the word of God. No, they don't. They don't. They don't. You know, one of the things I used to find out funny in Enugu, and that's why in Enugu, my spirit for a long time did not even want to broadcast from Enugu. That's radio broadcast. All right? Now, I'm not saying Enugu is a bad place, just typical of Christians. People will tell me all the time, how come, please, I'll go for meetings. Good afternoon, sir. We don't hear you on radio again. If you tell me that in Oka, I'm not bothered. You tell me that when I go to, maybe we'll go to Uli, I'm fine. Say that in Benin, it's okay with me. You say it in Sokoto, fine. Once you say it in Enugu, I am angry. I don't know what I heard I said. Once it is Enugu, you always provoke vexation inside my soul. Why? This, where I'm standing right here is where? Enugu. This is not Lagos, where going from one corner may be difficult. There is nowhere in Enugu from where you want to get to this place that's going to take you more than 30 minutes. Then you now open that mouth and tell me inside Enugu that you are not hearing me on radio. On radio, I used to preach for 30 minutes. Here, on Saturdays, I will talk for 1 hour, 30 minutes. And I do close to that also. At least an hour on Tuesdays, if I'm around. And I'm around most of the time. That is, if you bother to leave your home, you will hear me for 2.5 hours, rather than waiting for me to come into your home for 30 minutes. And you expect me to be impressed. For a long time, my spirit rejected broadcasting in Enugu, and that's one of the reasons for the long time it didn't happen. I said, no. Why? Because we had preached the word of God on air for more than 4 years. Enough to let you know that if what that fellow is saying is valuable to you, find your foot down here. And many people did. I'm not saying nobody did. But those are the people that I'm talking about that valued the word. They were ready to sell all they had to buy it. It's a sense of value. Bishop Oyedepo said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue towards you. Mike Murdoch said, if you don't respect it, you don't attract it. The word of God has power in itself. If you don't value it, no matter how much you claim to love it, no matter the claim, because you see, a lot of people study the word of God for different reasons. Quickly open to the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. I always like to use that one to point this matter out. The different ways, the different motives. And when I'm saying these things, it's for you to check your life. Nobody reported you to me. I'm just preaching. Amen? The book of Ezekiel chapter 33. He said, but as for you, verse 30. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes from the Lord. They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people. and hear your words,
but they do not do them.
Now he said, he now described the things that they do. Verse 32 says, behold, you are to them. Now, this is where I'm going. You are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Now, why did I read this? If you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I describe two kinds of people who hear the word of God. There's what I call the second hearing. That's what I'm trying to talk about. I describe the second hearing. That who is the hearer, all right? That is, there are those who, they are hearers of the word, and then they are doers. I said there's a matter of the second hearing. The second hearing is a person who hears the word. Because I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing. I described that. That people say, what does it mean to hear the word of God? What does it mean to hear the word and hear? I said, okay, you continue listening. I said, that's not what it means really. To say faith comes by hearing and hearing. It is not by hearing, comma, and hearing. No. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing, all right, is one concept. It's not if you hear and then hear later. There is a concept called hearing and hearing. And it's in the scriptures you see. God said simply, Joseph was interpreting the dream to Pharaoh, he said in that God said that into you twice, that is the dream. He's telling you that this matter is decided and it is soon happen. And when Jesus will want to speak, he will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. That is, when they repeat something like that in the scriptures, what they are saying is that this is very important. So when Paul said, faith comes by hearing and hearing, he was saying there are two kinds of people. There are those who hear it once, and those are the ones that James called the hearers of the word. And that's what Ezekiel was describing here, in that they enjoy hearing it. Do you get my point? It's sweet to their ears. But the hearing and hearing is the person who hears, not for the purpose of enjoying it, but understands the value of what he or she is hearing. And I'm saying to you again, that is the person whose God's power is released into their lives. The sense of value that I'm talking about. I explained that, listen, God's promises, that is what God wants to do in your life. He is not trying to execute things that you planned. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Let me add this one to it. He's not trying to fulfill your desires. Very important we understand that. No! He's not. What he's working on is that if I made a promise, it must be fulfilled in somebody's life. Therefore, anything we want to do in life, you know, we're talking about inspired by Isaac, that Isaac was a son of promise. Anything you desire in life, the simple duty of a believer is to seek from the book of the Lord and read whether God has any promise about it. And you build your life on that promise. Sometimes it's not even about desire. You were just reading and you stumbled into a promise. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, you're a businessman, you're a wife, you're a husband. You feel God has called you into being a politician. In every single one of these fields, God most certainly has a promise. And listen, until you discover that promise, you will be fighting with all your energy to produce an Ishmael. I say to you again, many people in life, they have produced Ishmaels, and they are proud of the Ishmael. Because Ishmael actually works to an extent. You know, let's talk about this politics thing briefly. I've heard a lot of stories about how it is with politicians. I've talked to people who are, in fact, a number of people who are quite close to me have been in and out or currently in about it. And when you hear a lot of stories, you realize something. That's why a lot of Christians run. Yeah, that's why Christians run a lot. I told the story of one man who told me that he was running for an election. Now, listen to this. Interest. If you've not heard the story before, just pay attention. He was running for an election, for an elective office, local government chairman. He came here one day to buy some materials. He now found out I was around. This was years ago. So he asked to see me, and I said, no problem. So we chatted for over an hour, and it was fun. That day. I learned a lot talking with him. He said, when he first wanted to go for one particular office, he had a dream. And the Lord spoke to him concerning what he should do in that dream, and he will win the election. And he did. He did what he was told to do, and he won the election. Neat. Even though there were many adversaries. The next higher office he wanted to go for, in a similar manner, he had a dream. And the Lord revealed to him in that dream, said, do everything you want, you will not win that election. But you know the way it is. You now say, no, maybe that one's the devil. He said people came to him and said, listen, for this post, we have found the original Dibia that prays, that does, is it prayer now? What do Dibias do? That does arrangement anyway for Jim Wombudu. They told him that one is very powerful. That's why Jim is so powerful, so they should go. So he told them that he's not going, that he's a Christian. This is the funny part of it. They now came back after some days and said that we have found a pastor. Since you're a Christian, we'll go and get a pastor. So this one time around, he agreed to go because he's a Christian. Don't forget the promise of God. So when that pastor got there, oh God, I love some pastors. Amen? Amen. The guy first collected arrears of tithes. That before he prays for him, he will collect the arrears of the tithes of the office he has been holding. Bros not get money. So he said the only thing he got in all his years of serving that public office was one car. So he went and gave it to somebody as collateral to borrow money to pay the prophet. And the prophet collected the money and began to declare. And he began to pray. Let me make a long story short, all right? I don't want to sit on that. He won the election. And the Lord, who said, do what you want, you won't win, annulled it. After he won it, something just happened one day. He just woke up one day, and the election had been annulled. He didn't fight. The people were getting angry. He did not fight because he knew the word of God. Yeah, you get my point? That came to him earlier. Now, there's a reason why I told his story. Because it helped me to understand, all right, that God actually makes rulers. No matter what you think, he does. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. He does till today. From his life, I saw the thing play out. On the surface, you write books on politicking. But he was giving me the story as an inside man in the spiritual angle. That I got into this office because God said, you will get there. The next one, God said to him, flat, no. Now listen to this. So if God looks at you and says, you, presidency, who do you think is going to stop you? That is why I said, Christians, we labor wrongly. We labor in networking the political parties. We labor, you understand, in getting to know big men. Listen, at the right season, if the word of God is upon your head, they are the ones that will say, come, let me help you. And which was what happened to David. Men used to walk up to David and say, we heard that you are the anointed king. The days of Saul, this is my brothers. Each one of them is a giant killer. All these ones, they sling, you know, they are professional. You kill a giant once, right? With one stone. Yeah, we predictably sling with both our left hands and our right. That is, they will describe what they had their capacity to do. Then they will lay their swords down and say, we have come to serve you. I studied the scriptures and realized that David was not a very strong man, physically speaking. I've studied enough Bible to know that. But his presence commanded the respect of people. Joab. You know, David feared Joab. Yes. A mistake he made anyway. But that's to let you know how powerful Joab was. Joab had two brothers. What are their names? Who can remind me? Asahel, right? And Abishai. Each one of them was tough. Abner, oh God, no, I don't want to start any story about those men. They were real, though. They're not me, so. As tough as Abishai was, Abner told him, I will kill you. No, Asahel, sorry, Asahel. He was running after Abner, because Abner was a great man. Yeah, but follow on the other boys. He said, Nalai, okay, I warned you, just like this, boom, and the boy died. You can't read the story in the Bible. He didn't turn around to fight him. He just took the back of his sword, of his spear, the back of his spear, and thrust it towards Asahel. Then went into his stomach, came out at the back. He said, I warned you. That was, for those who are wondering about it, so that was the reason why Joab killed Abner out of battle. And David, now that's what I'm telling the story. David could not do anything. Joab was too powerful. David was frustrated. He had to beg Solomon. Say, see that guy did that time? I've not forgotten him. Make sure he doesn't go to the grave in peace. He said, because he shed the blood of war in the time of peace, that was not right. I'm trying to bring out an issue. That those were powerful men. I mean, those guys were powerful. David didn't have to go to war as long as Joab was around. That was why he has time to be looking over fences to see who was basing, who was not basing. because Joab had gone ahead. But you see that story, all those stories around David, Joab will finish fighting and fighting and fighting. Then before he finally takes the city finally, he will pause the fighting and say, send for David. That this has to be done by the king so that they will name the city after David. He said, if I do it, it will be named after me. And Joab will pause. No more fighting until David gets here. They will just come ceremonially do one or two things. They name the city after David, that it was the one that conquered, and that's it. David goes back to his office. Those are the kinds of people that God surrounded David with. Now, I'm going to explain something. If you have a promise, no matter how powerful old PDP and new PDP are, hey God, you are getting what I'm trying to say? They will gather and gather after winning the office, say, who do we put in place? The promise that's upon your head is what will guide you in there. That is why he says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. Read until you discover your promise. Read until that word is activated in your life. If you have a word that's guiding your business investment, listen, I'm not saying this to sound like a nice preacher. One day, Dangote will call you and say, I heard you are the man who displaced me from the throne. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. He's not angry. People like that, don't worry, he won't get angry. Just looking at it from a distance, you know he won't get angry. He will like, what business can we do together? What refinery do we build next? But what will be most striking to you is the fact that you will not have more stress then than you have currently. Why? Because what propelled you into that position is the promise of God, not your own effort. Please, I hope you got what I said. Don't forget, my main message today is that how much do you value it? Is that one propelling you enough to spend? Because you have to spend money, physical money. I don't mean that as a joke. You have to. Spend time. Reject jobs. Somebody told me once, I feel this is what I should be doing. I said, don't take any job that won't let you do it. You will actually sell something as a sign of what value you place upon the promise of God. I hope you got my point. Please, let's just bow down our heads. Let's just pray.